in re-5G cell tower legislation, which eliminated local control over installation. I mean, we've come at this several times before, and certain states have won legislation against it, and many have not. But, dear, here's a police story. A 16-month-long sting operation catches five First Nation man selling $90 worth of fish. 16 months. How the police can skim out investigations to make overtime and all the rest of it. And John Vives is this. According to a recent report, Canadian government agent posed as a scientist to set up an elaborate sting operation targeting three First Nations Indian people. A man who was allegedly accused of illegally selling fish he caught from the lake near his home. For a year and a half, a conservation officer from Saskatchewan Minister of Environment went undercover as an air quality scientist to investigate claims. Donald Iron, a Cree First Nation man who lives in this settlement of Canoe Narrows in northern Saskatchewan, was the target of the investigation. Iron was cited for selling fish without a license after the 16-month. I don't hear a break. John, do we go to a break? Over the air. Donald Iron, a Cree First Nation man who lives in the settlement of Canoe Narrows in northern Saskatchewan, was the target of the investigation. Iron was cited for selling fish without a license after a 16-month-long investigation proved he sold a whopping $90 worth of fish. Can you believe that? Okay, we're going for a break now, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Barton Report from Republic Broadcasting, and we're just coming to the third hour of the program today. And this case here, it's been a very ponderous matter, but police in Saskatchewan spent 16 months investigating a Native American Indian for selling fish without a license, and the amount he had sold was $90 worth. 16 months, how much of that cost? Several gits, and they posed as research scientists on the rivers to catch this guy. Having spent probably a 16-month holiday for the police, really. But the case sparked outrage among the scientific community as the agency's actions negatively impact on the relationship that the scientists have built with the First Nations. Ryan Brook, a wildlife professor at the University of Saskatchewan, says the community may think twice about dealing with scientists from now on. When an environmental officer pretends to be a scientist, that definitely sets us back a lot. The next person that comes up to Northern Saskatchewan, other places in Canada, and says, "Hello, I'm a scientist. I'd like to work with you on something." It's just another alarm bell that goes off. Because I'll be talking about multi-year sting to capture a major crime ring that's putting conversation at risk. This was a pretty small case, $90. Then the officer told Iron he was testing the air quality on his property and would return on a regular basis to monitor the fake testing devices. During his visit, the officer would also buy fish from Iron, spending, entrapment, $90 throughout the investigation. Iron was also paid $200 for allowing the fake testing equipment to be set up on his property. insane. Iron, this Native American Indian attorney, Dwayne Stonechild, argued in court that the officers took advantage of Iron and trapping him by asking him to buy fish. But that should be thrown out on trap in that case, any kind of law in Canada. But again, Canada is becoming a politically correct police state as well. Stonechild said Iron is illiterate and lives in poverty, but regardless, George Miguel Martinez decided that the investigation was warranted because it was the only way to catch him. Oh my God. But it goes on to say, people like Mr. Iron who take more fish than their families need to feed themselves and then illegally sell the fish, essentially are stealing from other members of the community. I mean, a tiny community of people. Threatening the sustainability of all aspects of the Canoe Lake fishery, including potentially the livelihoods of Canoe Lake licensed fishermen. Okay. But so Canada is not immune from corrupt police and legislature and judges. Again, shocking. Truly shocking. But states trying to legislatively kick smart meters to the curb now include Montana. Well, I've been in Montana, a great place to be. But being Frank writing this article, since tens of millions of utility smart meters have been installed in the U.S. and around the world, it is likely that they are already on your home and throughout your community. Unfortunately, these types of meters can cause appliances to malfunction, fires and explosions, measurement errors, inflated bills, and health issues. Well, health issues is number first, second, and last. It's 100 times higher radiation level than any other device, between 10 and 100. New and increased environmental issues due to the radiation emissions and exposure. Utility smart meters also seem to have deliberately designed so they would have to be replaced frequently. Costs of this are usually passed on to customers in the form of rate increases. Last but not least, utility smart meters are associated with cybersecurity risk and they violate human rights. Well, they also can be hacked. The meter as such can detect whether the house is occupied by human people. And hackers can then break into your home. Considering that's the way they're stealing £70,000 keyless start Audis here in Britain. It's an absolute massive wave. They get two devices, one which searches the house, scans the house for the keys, gets the code into a scanner, and then the scanner puts it back to the device that they're holding to the ignition, and the thieves can start the car and drive away. Okay? And that's how they're scrambling to find out how to stop this high-tech stealing of expensive cars. Here we are. I missed an article here. This article was beginning to utilities smart meters here. They're supposedly saying how they fought it. Anyway, the bill introduced in Montana would restrict the sharing of smart meters data and set the stage to allow utility customers to opt out of the technology altogether. Passage of this bill would protect privacy, and it would take a step towards backing a federal program in effect. Privacy issues aren't merely theoretical. According to information obtained by the California ACLU, utility companies in the state have disclosed information gathered by smart meters on thousands of customers. San Diego Gas and Electric alone disclosed data on more than 4,000 customers. The vast majority of disclosures were in response to subpoenas by government agencies, often in the drug enforcement cases, or efforts to find specific individuals. And the Mark Tony, Executive Director of Utility Reform Network Watchdog Group, said the sheer number of data disclosures made by SDNG raises the possibility that government agencies wanted to sift through large amounts of data looking for patterns rather than conducting targeted information. A documentary about all the issues associated with smart meters was produced in 2013 and re-edited and released in 2017. It is free to watch. Okay. Anyway, they're just very brief stories of fighting it in... Well, people want to get very aggressive on 5G and smart meters and vaccinations. The three things bearing down on people now on a shocking level, destroying families, their life at every single level, children and the health and mental health of everybody. Shocking. And yet another story. Congressional House Committee investigates the FCC for collusion on the 5G cell tower legislation, which eliminated local control over installation, which eliminated. I'm showing a reference here to the Muppet Show. Because of already passed state and federal legislation, a lot more 4G and 5G cell towers and infrastructure are being installed over the U.S. in front of homes and everywhere else. This is in addition to countless other small and mega 4G cell towers that have already been installed near homes and throughout communities over the last few years. Small cell towers and infrastructures aren't always easily recognizable. This is why many Americans are still completely unaware about all of the all of this, regardless where Americans are aware. There have been increasing vocal opposition to installations due to biological, environmental and safety risks, as well as reduced property value, etc. We had the famous case, and I've referred to it many times, of Virginia Farber from Fort Collins, Colorado. Her son was attending and living at San Diego University, and there was a cell tower in the heart of the university, and he died of a brain tumor, and several other children were extremely ill, etc., and they finally removed the cell tower. So that was a major, major story, and she's been interviewed on many patriot stations about that situation. But we had so many stories about Monsanto. It's just sounds like a recurring playing a record in a loop. It's the same attack, the same mentality, the same lies and shocking pollution. But one more, I'll go through this one time. Catherine Fromovich, she is very long-winded. One of the most intrepid GMO scientists researchers for over 20 years, Jeffrey Smith of the Institute of Responsible Technology, interviewed attorney Brent Weisner, the genius lead lawyer who apparently overwhelmed the legal system by finally getting Monsanto papers, which documented malicious conduct by a corporation and complete manipulation of science. According to him, during his representation of Mr. Dwayne Johnson, in the Dwayne Johnson versus Monsanto lawsuit, Jeffrey Smith, an IRT, produced a stunning repertoire of short video clips in his interview with Mr. Weisner, which are nothing less than stunning information regarding the fraud, concealment, and scientific manipulation corporations used to get the CDC, the FDA, the USDA, and the EPA approval of licenses, all of them working against the American people. As the link below, you can access these riveting interviews. But you're referring to Monsanto genotoxicity cover-up. The rookie off the bench saves the day. The Monsanto, huge mistake. Monsanto, shocking disregard for science and truth. Another one. These are the different videos presumably on YouTube. The most dramatic day of the trial. Guilty Monsanto. Monsanto acted with malice. The judgment came down against him. Okay, Monsanto, in its apparent desperation regarding negative studies published around 1999, hired Dr. James Parry, a renowned toxicologist from England, to combat the science that was emerging in published papers about glyphosate causing mutations in DNA, which causes cancer. In his review of the published papers, Dr. Parry advised Monsanto, the stuff is genotoxic. Not to mention the UN World Health Organization, WHO, the statement that it's possibly a carcinogenic. Then Monsanto gave Dr. Parry all their studies, but Parry's second report confirmed genotoxicity again. One of the scientific facts pointed out about the various chemical compounds which Roundup contains is a biochemical interactions are not a 1+1, but unknown numerous reactions no one knows about or how many times the reactions occur. That often referred to as synergistic interreaction. And they're quoting Wikipedia, which is a bit dicey. Examples are aspirin and morphine, alcohol, and depressant tranquilizer, painkiller, synergen in interactions means that the effect of two chemicals taken together is greater than the sum of their separate effect. Okay. Anyway, she's referring to a class action case which was won against Monsanto, but there are so many thousands of situations. These are little pinpricks in the fight against the use of glyphosate, which is now done. Shocking. I'll surely come across a story in the near future calculating how many the damage is done. And again, Mike Adams, outstanding man. They're not only to test the water in 90 different cities in America, he was gathering data from the amount of that stuff sprayed on public parks and especially on the edges of grass here near tarmac. And it indicates that an awful lot of dogs are dying from pollution picked up in public parks, which is really them ingesting the chemical glyphosate. And yet another thing, not only that, and then they're vaccinating animals like they're vaccinating people. So it's going on and on and on, etc. There's no other way. But one sort of good news story in this regard, does sunlight offer a natural way to kill indoor bacteria? And Elaine Castillo is writing this article. We have an article further down if we can find it about a harmless weed killer. I'll come to that in a second. But does sunlight offer a natural way to kill bacteria? Most people spend the majority of their lives indoors. But what many people don't realize is that dust that builds up inside built environments like our house, school, and workplaces, thriving microbial communities. Well, I was telling somebody in RBN, he knows who I'm talking about, not anybody connected with this problem, that lives in a house with forced air, which I worked for a duct company in Toronto, and I just could not believe that North Americans were using forced air as a heating system, virtually unknown here in the UK. But it's the most appalling carrier of germs that you could possibly do. And I'm gobsmacked. It's still going on. And then the same person I'm talking about has an inbuilt, a wall vacuum cleaner. Oh my God, which is storing dust and crap in the house. And there's visible and invisible dust in every house and every office. But people ingesting this and the chemtail spraying, you could not get a better carrier for poisoning people. Absolutely, first rate. I mean, these vents near the floor in houses in America, it's children and pets get the big blast of them. So I'm left gobsmacked as to why a country like America got involved with forced air. So anyway, there we are. We're going to the first break of the third hour, and we should be back in a few minutes.
Thank you. We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back in from the break, the first break of this third hour, and we're just reading this article, just posing the question, well, it's proving it actually, that does sunlight offer a natural way to kill indoor bacteria? Sure. And they were saying most people spend the majority of their lives indoor, but what many people don't realize is that the dust that builds up inside the built environment, like your house, school, or workplace, is thriving with microbial communities. Germs, these consist of diverse populations of both pathogenic and commercial bacteria, which tends to be affected by the architectural features of the building they're found in. Well, I'll put it very bluntly. Whereas I worked for a Dutch company, a crap job, in Toronto when I was there 25 years ago, but the plaster dust of the building of the house is all in the ducting, and the construction dust, which is massive, is in the ducting, leaving you clean out, there's still traces of it, then it's pulling in dust as well and shoving it out. So you're circulating dust with a forced air system. I don't know how people can't figure that out. And they have these filters, Canadian tire filters, which are a joke. Why do it? I just cannot for the life of me understand that. shocking system. And sunlight exposure is one of the most important things to consider when designing buildings. However, it's not just considered for the beauty that it contributes, but also for its potential bacterial effect, which to some extent is attributed to ultraviolet light. This theory was validated in recent study by researchers from the University of Oregon and Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. It showed that daylight exposure can significantly reduce the number of living bacteria in dust microbial communities. In their study, which was published in the Journal of Microbiology, the researchers constructed small artificial habitats that simulate the typical conditions in an indoor room. These included factors like lighting, reflective temperature, and humidity. They also applied three different glazing treatments to the windows in their setups. First of these is the visible light treatment, which mimics the normal spectrum profile of daylight. Oh my God. That passes through architectural glass. I mean, come on, we're just going to come to a conclusion. Next, the UV transmitting treatment, which allows UV light to pass through and blocks most visible and near infrared light. Okay, these treatments serve two main purposes. The first is to allow for comparison of microbial communities in daylight. And I'm going to jump down this article here to see, has it got a final paragraph? Yeah. Overall, these results show that light exposure can have bacterial effects on indoor dust microbial communities. Okay. Other reasons to let sunlight into your home. Here we are, some about 10, 2, 4 key voices. Very good points. It helps you save money. Strategic natural lighting will reduce your energy bill. It enhances your focus. Your brain feels a little foggy. Try getting some natural light. Soaking up some sunlight for just a few minutes has been shown to boost alertness and focus. Sure, that's why I found it a bit groggy this hour of the morning. It's 5 a.m. here. It reduces your blood pressure. Ooh, that's a new one on me. Exposure to sunlight boosts your body production of nitric oxide, which works as a vasculator and consequently reduces blood pressure. Natural sunlight, it boosts your immune system. The body fights off pathogens with the help of the immune cells called T cells, which can be achieved by sunlight. Specifically the vitamin D produced from exposure. But whether you're over 55, 60 years of age, your body does not absorb vitamin D very much. You should take vitamin D tablets. You know that. It helps you lose weight. Oh, that would be a good one. A study in the Journal of Diabetes showed that healthy levels of UV, natural UV exposure, can help prevent obesity and improve metabolic syndrome. That's a big if. It helps relieve some stress. Start your day by soaking off some sunlight. Studies have shown UV exposure can help prevent obesity. Start your day by soaking up some sunlight. Studies have shown that this can help you cope better with stressful, anxiety-provoking situations. I see. Very good. Well, we take our word on that. But I wouldn't doubt that for a minute. Very good. Okay, we come to start off in a minute. John Whitehead's article about the jackboot society that America has become. But a few other quick stories before the bottom of the hour break. Maybe we're talking about whole body vibration may be vital management option for people with osteoporosis. Well, I have one of those machines. It's absolutely first class for preventing deflating thrombosis and improving the circulation of blood. And it's as good as exercise, a vibrating plate machine. Okay. Right, we'll go to this break and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, and we're coming back in for the last hour of the program today. But no, I just have a key article here. It'll take the rest of the program to read it. Jackboots in the morning. No one is spared from this American nightmare. And John Whitehead is describing this jackboot society they live in America. John Whitehead is that this is jackboots in the morning. This is the American nightmare that they would arrest somebody like this, Judge Andrew Napolitano is quoting. The American police state does not discriminate. Whatever dangerous practices you allow the government to carry out now, whether it is in the name of national security or protecting American borders or making America great again, rest assured, these same practices can and will be used against you when the government decides to set its sights on you. We've been having the same debate about the perils of government overreach for the past 50 years, and still we don't seem to learn. Or if we learn too late. And he goes on to the Roger Stone thing. For too long now, American people have allowed their personal prejudices and politics to cloud their judgment and render them incapable of seeing that the treatment being doled out by the government, lethal enforcement forces, has remained consistent no matter the threat. All of the excessive abuse tactics employed by the government today, warrantless surveillance, stop and frisk searches, SWAT team raids, roadside strip searches, asset forfeiture schemes, private prisons, indefinite detention, militarized police will eventually be meted out on the general populace. Well, it is at that point when you find yourself in the government's crosshairs, it will, not matter whether your skin is black or yellow or brown or white, it will not matter whether you are an immigrant or a citizen, it will not matter whether you are rich or poor, it will not matter whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, and it certainly won't matter who you voted for in the last presidential election. At that point, and at the point you find yourself subjected to dehumanizing, demoralizing, thuggish behavior by government bureaucrats who are hyped up on the power of their badges and empowered to detain, search, and interrogate, threaten, and generally harass anyone they see fit. Remember, you are warned. Take Roger Stone, one of President Trump's longtime supporters, for example. This is a guy accused of witness tampering, obstruction of justice, and lying to Congress. As far as we know, this guy is not the kingpin of a violent mob or a drug-dealing scheme. He has been charged with a political crime. So what does the FBI do? They send 29 heavily armed agents in 17 vehicles to carry out a SWAT-style raid on Stone's Florida home just before dawn on January 25th. After his arraignment on witness tampering, obstruction, and lying to Congress, Rattle Stone was quoted as saying, 29 agents pounded on the door, pointed automatic weapons at him, and terrorized his wife and dogs. Stone was taken away in handcuffs. The sixth associate of President Trump to be indicted in special counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. All of the charges have been related to either lying or tax evasion, with no evidence so-called of collusion with Russia emerging to date. Absolutely none. Overkill, sure. Yet another example of government's overreach and brutality, definitely. But here is the thing. While Tucker Carlson and Chris Christie and other Trump apologists appear shocked that law enforcement personnel would stage a military assault against an unarmed 66-year-old man who has been charged with a nonviolent crime, this is nothing new. Indeed, it is a blowback, one more vivid example of how government's short-sighted use of immoral, illegal, and unconstitutional tactics become dangerous weapons turned against the American people. It says, to be clear, the Stone raid is far from the first time a SWAT team has been employed in the nonviolent scenarios. Nationwide, SWAT teams routinely invade homes, break down doors, kill family pets. They always shoot the dogs first, damage furnishings, terrorize families, and would kill those unlucky enough to be present during the raid. Peyton, a 7-year-old black Labrador retriever, and a 4-year-old Chase, also a black lab, were shot and killed after a SWAT team mistakenly raided the mayor's home while searching for drugs. Police shot Peyton 4 times. Chase was shot twice, once from behind as he ran away. My government blew through my doors and killed my dogs. They thought they were drug dealers and were treated as such. I don't think they really ever considered we weren't, recalls Mayor Chael Calvo, who described being in handcuffs and interrogated for hours, wearing only underwear and socks, surrounded by the dogs' carcasses and pools of the dogs' blood. SWAT teams have been employed to address an astonishingly trivial array of so-called criminal activity or mere community nuisances. Angry dogs, domestic disputes, improper paperwork filed by an orchid farmer, and misdemeanor marijuana possession. They give a brief sampling. In some instances, SWAT teams are even employed in full armament to perform routine patrols. If these raids are becoming increasingly common and widespread, you can chalk it up through the make work philosophy, in which you assign at times unnecessary jobs to individuals to keep them busy. And in this case, however, the make work principle is being applied to justify the use of sophisticated military equipment in the process qualify for federal funding. SWAT teams originated as specialized units dedicated to defusing extremely sensitive, dangerous situations. They were never meant to be used for routine police work, such as serving a warrant. It says frequently justified as vital tools necessary to combat terrorism and deal with rare but extremely dangerous criminal situations, such as those involving hostages. SWAT teams, which first appeared on the scene in California in the 1960s, have now become an intrinsic part of federal and local law enforcement operations, thanks in large part to substantial federal assistance and the Pentagon's 1033 military surplus recycle program, which allows the transfer of military equipment, weapons, and training to local police for free or at a sharp discount. Mind you, this is the same program that President Trump breathed new life into back in 2017. As the role of paramilitary forces has expanded to include the involvement of nondescript police work targeting non-violent suspects, the presence of SWAT units has actually injected a level of danger and violence into police-citizens' interactions that was not present as long as these interactions were handled by traditional civilian officers. There are a few communities without a SWAT team today. In 1980, there were roughly 3,000 SWAT teams dial raids in the United States. 1980, 3,000 SWAT team raids. Incredibly, that number has now grown to 80,000 SWAT team raids per year. Where this becomes a problem of life and death for American citizens is where these militarized SWAT teams are assigned to carry out routine law enforcement tasks. No longer reserved exclusively for deadly situations, SWAT teams are now increasingly being deployed for relatively routine police matters, such as serving search warrants, and then some, with some SWAT teams being sent out as much as five times a day. In the state of Maryland alone, 92% of the 8,200 SWAT missions were used to execute search warrants. 92% of the 8,000 in Maryland, 8,200 SWAT missions. Police in both Baltimore and Dallas have used SWAT teams to bust up poker games. A Connecticut SWAT team swarmed a bar suspected of serving alcohol to underage individuals. In Arizona, a SWAT team was used to break up an alleged cockfighting ring. An Atlanta SWAT team raided a music studio, allegedly out of concern that it had been involved in illegal music piracy. Handcuffed the three, music piracy. A Minnesota SWAT team raided the wrong house in the dead of night, handcuffed the three young children, held the mother on the floor at gunpoint, shot the family dog, and then forced and handcuffed the children to sit next to the carcass of their dead pet and bloody pet for more than an hour while they searched the house. A California SWAT team drove an armored Lenco Bearcat into Roger Serrato's yard, surrounded him with paramilitary troops wearing face masks, threw a fire starting flash bang grenade into the house in order then, when Serrato appeared at a window unarmed and wearing only his shorts, held him at bay with rifles. Serrato died of asphyxiation from being trapped in the flame filled house. Incredibly, the father of four had done nothing wrong. The SWAT team had mistakenly misidentified him as someone involved in a shooting. And then there was the police officer who tripped and accidentally shot and killed Yuri Stamps, an unarmed grandfather of 12, who had been forced to lie face down on the floor of his home at gunpoint while SWAT teams attempted to execute a search warrant against his stepson. Equally outrageous was a four-hour SWAT team raid in on a California high school, where students were locked down in a classroom, forced to urinate in overturned desks, and generally terrorized by heavily armed masked gunmen searching for possible weapons that were never found. These incidents are just the tip of the iceberg. What we are witnessing is an inversion of the police-civilian relationship rather than compelling police officers to remain within constitutional bounds as servants of the people, ordinary Americans are being harassed at the mercy of militarized police units. This is what happens when paramilitary forces are used to conduct ordinary policing operations such as executing warrants on non-violent offenders. Unfortunately, general incompetence, collating damage and fatalities and properties damage and botched raids tend to go hand in hand with the overuse of paramilitary force. In some cases, officers misread the address on the warrant. In others, they simply barge into the wrong house or even the wrong building. In another subset of cases, such as a Department of Education raid on Anthony Wright's home, police conducted a search of a building where the suspect no longer resides. If you're wondering why the Education Department needs a SWAT team, you're not alone. Among those federal agencies laying claim to their own law enforcement divisions are the State Departments, for their own SWAT teams, Department of Education, Department of Energy, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Department of National Parks, to name just a few. In fact, it says something about our reliance on the military that federal agencies having nothing whatsoever to do with national defense now they see the need for their own paramilitary units. Well, you could add the BLM to that as well in Nevada. SWAT teams have even on occasion conducted multiple sequential raids on wrong addresses or executed search warrants despite the fact that the subject is already in police custody. Police have also raided homes on the basis of mistaking the presence of scent of legal substances for drugs. Incredibly, these substances have included tomatoes, sunflowers, fish, elderberry, bushes, canaf plants, and ragweed. As you can see, all too often, botched SWAT team raids have resulted in one target after another for residents with little consequences for law enforcement. Unfortunately, judges tend to afford extreme levels of deference to police officers who have mistakenly killed innocent civilians, but do not afford similar leniency to civilians who have injured police in the acts of self-defense. Even homeowners who mistake officers for robbers can be sentenced for assault or murder if they take defensive action, resulting in harm to police. As a journalist, Radley Alco, shows in his in-depth study of police militarization, the shock and awe tactics utilized by many SWAT teams only increases the likelihood that someone will get hurt. Drug warrants, for instance, are typically served by paramilitary units late at night or shortly before dawn. Unfortunately, to the unsuspecting homeowner, especially in cases involving mistaken identity or wrong addresses, a raid can appear to be nothing less than a violent home invasion with armed intruders crashing through the door. The natural reaction would be to engage in self-defense, yet such defensive actions on the part of a homeowner, particularly a gun owner, would spur offense to employ lethal force. That's exactly what happened to Joshua Garena, a young ex-Marine who was killed after a SWAT team kicked open his door of his Arizona home during a drug raid and opened fire. According to a news report, Garena, a 26-year-old and father of two young children, grabbed a gun in response to the forced invasion but never fired. In fact, the safety was still on his gun when he was killed. Police officers were not restrained. The young Iraqi war veteran was allegedly fired upon 71 times. Garena had no prior criminal record. The police found nothing illegal in his home. And if Ariana Jones is dead because of a SWAT raid gone wrong, the 7-year-old girl was killed after a Detroit SWAT team searching for a subject launched a flashbang grenade into her family apartment, broke through the door, opened fire, hitting the little girl, was asleep on the living room couch. The cops weren't even in the right apartment. Exhibiting a similar lack of basic concern for public safety, a Georgia SWAT team launched a flashbang grenade into a house in which baby Bowie, his three sisters and his parents were staying. The grenade landed in the 2-year-old's crib, burning a hole in his chest, leaving him with scarring and a lifetime of surgeries who will not be able easily to undo. The problems inherent in these situations are further compounded by the fact that that SWAT teams are granted no-knock warrants at high rates, such as the warrants themselves are rendered practically meaningless. And it's that Alberto Spilvida, 11, died from one accidental shotgun round in the back after a SWAT team raided his parents' home, 11-year-old. This sorry state of affairs is made even worse by the U.S. Supreme Court rulings that heavily, that have essentially done away with the need for no-knock warrants altogether, given that the police authority to disregard the protections afforded to American citizens by the Fourth Amendment. Okay, we're coming up to the last break. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Coming back into the last few minutes of the Bottom Report, and I'm just trying to finish this article by John Whitehead talking about this appalling use of SWAT teams. He said, in the process, Americans are rendered altogether helpless and terror-stricken as a result of these confrontations with the police. Indeed, terrorizing is a mild term to describe the effort of those who survive such vigilante tactics. It was terrible. It was the most frightening experience of my life. I thought it was a terrorist attack, said an 84-year-old Leona Goldberg, a victim of such a raid. Yet this type of terrorizing activity is characteristic of the culture that we have created. If ever there were a time to demilitarize and de-weaponize local police force, it's now. This is why we're now grappling with power-hungry police state and federal level. The militarization of domestic American law enforcement is largely the result of militarization of local forces, which are increasingly militaristic in their uniforms. The weaponry, language, training, and tactics have come to rely on SWAT teams in matters that once would have been satisfactorily performed by traditional civilian officers. Yet American police forces were never supposed to be a branch of the military, nor were they meant to be private security forces for the regional political faction. Instead, they are intended to be an aggregation of countless local police units comprised of citizens like you and me, exist for a sole purpose, to serve and protect the citizens of each and every American community. As a result of the increasing militarization of the police in recent years, however, the police now not only look like the military with their foreboding uniforms and flanks of lethal weapons, but they function like them as well. Thus, no more do we have a civilian force of peace officers entrusted with serving and protecting the American people. Instead, today, militarized law enforcement officials have shifted their allegiance from the citizenry to the state, acting preemptively to ward off any possible challenge to the government power, unrestrained by the boundaries of the Fourth Amendment. As the journalist Herman Schwartz observed, the Fourth Amendment was designed to stand between us and the arbitrary government authority. For all practical purposes, the shield has been shattered, leaving our liberty and personal integrity subject to the whim of every cop on the beat, trooper on the highway, and jail official. Heavily armed police officers, the end product of government, federal, local, state, and law enforcement agencies having merged, have become a standing or permanent army composed of full-time professional soldiers who do not disband. Yet these permanent armies are exactly what those who drafted the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights fears as tools by despotic governments to wage war against the citizens. This phenomenon we are experiencing with the police is what philosopher Abraham Kaplan referred to as the law of the instrument, which essentially says that to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. In the scenario that has been playing out in recent years, we, the citizens, we have become the nails to be hammered by the government henchmen, a.k.a. its guns for hire, a.k.a. its a standing army, a.k.a. a national law enforcement agencies. The problem, as one reporter writing concludes, is not that life has gotten that much more dangerous, is that the authorities have chosen to respond, even innocent situations, as if they were a war zone. John Whitehead, February 19, 2019. Okay, we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report, and we'll talk to you then.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.